حبيبي، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Hey, as always, you're sounding so well, so fresh. Not as young, but youngish.
Alhamdulillah, things are wonderful in Durban. As for me, Alhamdulillah, I got an absolutely heavy flu, Maulana. The whole works, eh? Watery eyes, coughing, fever, body pain, the full snot factory and all. But let me tell you something, Maulana. There's something far worse that is impacting on my health and my well-being. Yes, much worse. It is absolutely devastating. And today on the radio program, I will have to reveal this to the listeners and to the entire world. And what is that? Well, I'll tell you, dear listeners, and I can guarantee you that you will also be totally taken aback. Yes, you will also be devastated. It will bring tears to your eyes. Your day will be spoiled. You will be in deep mourning. So, what is it? Well, I'll tell you. It is something that is far more tragic than the sinking of the Titanic.
Ooh.
And after I reveal to you what it is, I will have to go for counseling for post-traumatic disorder. So, dear listeners, the matter that is killing me is, are you ready for it? Something that is a huge calamity, worse than Mandela leaving Winnie. Actually, in there lies a clue. Yes, it's about divorce. There you are, folks. It's now out in the open. It's about parting ways. Tears are filling my eyes as I tell you this. And perhaps before I finish, I will break down completely. It's a very, very sad day, dear listeners. Very sad day indeed. Let me get to the point. Today, there's going to be a heart-wrenching, apocalyptic separation, a terrible parting of ways, as I said, that is going to have devastating consequences, not only to the two people involved. There you are, I said it, two people, eh? Yes, it's going to impact on them, but also on the wider society and beyond. And so, dear listeners, this is what I want to tell you. Are you ready? A divorce is never an easy thing. It leads one into uncharted waters. The future is filled with trepidation. Will it work out? Won't it work out? The uncertainty is devastating. Depression and soul-searching is inevitable. So, dear listeners, fasten your seatbelts, put your seats in the upright position, and pull your window shades up. Today, Bayo Beno or Buzruko, the illustrious, articulate, erudite Maulana Sulaiman Rawat and I will be parting ways. Yes, I know that this is a shocking announcement, but it's true. It's over. Kalas. We are going our separate ways. And today is the last broadcast of the Big Picture program, as you heard. Yes, of course, another shocker. So what is all this about? I hear you ask. Well, dear listeners, it's like this. The Big Picture will now be, until further notice, take place on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. It will be an hour long, and there will not be any Maulana Rawat. I will be doing it solo. So that's it. So, who knows how it will turn out, eh? But I must confess, I will really miss you, Maulana, especially your lovely compliments about my wonderful hairstyle that you keep commenting on. And of course, that you are so jealous that I look much younger than my 48 years. So with tears in my eyes, and before I get all choked up, let me say this, Maulana. Fridays will never be the same again.
For sure.
Nothing to discuss over the dal ghost today. There's going to be no light at the end of the tunnel.
You're such a sweet old man.
There you go, shut it all down.
No. I actually have to, on a serious note, Habibi, it's been a wonderful, I don't know how many, 12, 13 years?
Hey, right, man. Yeah.
I mean, when we started off, you were 50, right? So so just check your age and you'll know how long we've been doing the program.
Age cannot wither thee, nor custom dull thy infinite variety. That's William Shakespeare.
Wow. At your age, you can still remember that stuff.
Right.
I mean, not bad for a person who went to school in the 50s. No, jokes aside, I mean, it's been an honor and a privilege for me, and my Friday mornings will never be the same. I've learned a lot, and I think more than the on-air program and what I've learned from you and the humor that you've provided and the very, very in-depth analysis and the kind of mind-opening perspective that you deliver every week. I think it's the friendship that has that we've both been blessed with, and may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala keep that intact, and may we never part in that regard.
Ameen.
But wow. I'm sure our listeners are looking forward to listening to you in a way where you're not weighed down by all my excess baggage, and you're on your own and you have your free reign, just like you take the surfboard to the oceans. You know, you'll have more time, and you'll be able to go for it with all of this energy that you still have in your old age.
I wouldn't miss that part.
All right, it's a story that caught your eye this week.
You know what, Maulana, I live in Isipingo, as you know. My office is in Overport. So it's a long drive, and sometimes the traffic comes to an absolute standstill. And that's when I find myself singing. Yes, that's right, singing songs from way back, from my pre-Hidayat days. Frank Sinatra, Muhammad Rafi, Satchmo's. Shoo, that's a long time ago. And I sing it, of course, at the top of my voice, sending it one way. I see trees of green, red roses too. I watch them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Forget it. So that's what I do in traffic, sing. But I'm very worried now, Mullah, very worried. I read an article yesterday that made me completely nervous. Actually, this happened in Montreal, in Canada. 38-year-old Tawfiq Mullah had just dropped off his kids at school and was going to the supermarket to buy some groceries. On the way, he was singing along to something called the 90s tune, the hit tune, Everybody Dance Now. I don't know anything much about that. You know, music is all haram. Anyway, he was singing along with it, also very loudly in his car while driving. Then he saw blue lights in his rearview mirror. He thought that the cops wanted to pass. But then he heard a loudspeaker, and he said, please go to the right side. Here is what Tawfiq reported. He says, I stopped, and four police came, two on each side, and checked the inside of the car. Then they asked me if I screamed. I said, no, I was just singing. Mullah said, police demanded his license and registration papers. And then, dear listeners, believe it or not, they handed him a very hefty fine for screaming in public. $149. That's about 2,000 rands. Well, that's when I looked at the rand the last time. 2,000 rands, can you believe it? According to Montreal bylaw, it says, to cause disorder by screaming can be punishable by a fine of $50 to $1,000 for the first offense and $100 to $2,000 for further infractions. But Mullah contested his singing. Was overly loud. They said that it was overly loud. And he told CTV Montreal that he was just happy and enjoying the song. And he added, I understand if they are doing their job, they are allowed to check if everything is okay, if I kidnap someone or if there is danger inside. But I would never expect they would give me a ticket for that, for singing. Well, despite taking the ticket in good grace, the driver plans on contesting the ticket in court. But you know what, dear listeners? In such situations, the fro will always have the last word. Usually it's a tight clap, your verbal clap. Tawfiq probably had his tongue in his cheek when he said, when my wife heard about the fine, she said that my singing deserved a fine of $300. Okay, now to the next story. And it's about going to the restaurant. Well, like eating out is so expensive these days, especially if you take the whole family out for steaks and prawns and so on. And when you get the bill, you get instant indigestion. Makes a lekker hole in your pocket. You look at the till slip to see if they added something by mistake. Hey, who ordered the Mauritian sauce at $17.95? Oh, okay, it was Imran. Hope the credit card goes through, eh? And lucky, you know, it's very lucky that they bring the bill in a leather folder. You can just leave the 10 rand and some coins and say very loudly to the waiter, okay, thanks, eh? As you hurriedly make for the door. No 10% tip there, Brazo. But I feel sorry for those waiters, Maulana. They work so hard and their wages are so low, so they rely on the tips. But I think the next time I go to a restaurant, I will leave a tip that is more valuable than money. Yes, I will leave a piece of paper with some words of wisdom. You know, every day I get a tsunami of WhatsApp messages, very cute sayings and quotations and so on. A few of them are very inspiring and full of wisdom. So I will write on a piece of paper one of these sayings or words of wisdom and leave it as a tip instead of money. And who knows, the words may inspire the young waiter. It may empower him, make him motivated to go out into the world and do great things. I will write my favorite saying, for example, fear not the path of truth for lack of people walking upon it. Wow, how's that one, eh?
Mm.
Well, what do you think will be the reaction of the waiter when he opens the leather folder and finds the tip? Will he say, hi, Bo, this is worth much more than the 50 rand tip I was supposed to get for the 500 rand food that he was eating? Which all brings me to the point, Maulana. I wish I was the courier guy who brought a message for the famous scientist Albert Einstein. Now, let me tell you what happened. It's 1922. It was just announced that Einstein had won the Nobel Prize for Physics. He had just won the Nobel Prize for Physics, and he was traveling in Japan, and he was at his hotel in Tokyo. It was the Imperial Hotel, and a young Japanese courier arrived with a written message for Einstein, and Einstein didn't have any change to give to this young man as a tip. So he gave him a note written on the hotel's notepaper, on which he wrote in German, which was his language, which said these words: a quiet and modest life brings more joy than a pursuit of success bound with constant unrest. How's that? A quiet and modest life brings more joy than a pursuit of success bound with constant unrest. So he handed this note to this young man and said to him, maybe if you are lucky, this note will become much more valuable than just a regular tip. That's what he told him. He said, maybe if you are lucky, this note will become much more valuable than a regular tip. Well, let me tell you something, dear listeners. Einstein's theory was relative. Did you get that one, dear listeners? All the rocket scientists out there? No? Okay, never mind. It's a lack of badam, dude. That's why it went right over your head. Sure. That was very condescending of me, wasn't it? Anyway, at the auction held on Tuesday, guess what Einstein's note went for? There was an auction of this note. How much was the final bid? Anyone out there? No? Okay. The answer is $1.56 million. $1.56 million for that note that Einstein wrote. That is around 22,850-ish. Let me try that again. 1,100 million. Okay. Let's leave it at 22 million rand approximately. Hey, machine worm. So, there you are, listeners. $1.56 million or 22 million rands was the tip worth that Einstein gave to this courier fellow. Nice one, that. But I should not be too hard on Jacob. Jacob, oh man, Jacob. He's got such a nice laugh. I bet you didn't know that Yakubai is also a scientist like Einstein. Did you know that, Maulana?
Mm.
Yeah, Yakubai is a scientist like Einstein. It's true. He took our currency, the rand, and turned it into a lump of cow dung.
All right, the war on terror.
You know, last week I called George Bush a donkey for saying in a recent speech that politicians should not lie.
Yeah, he wrote us a letter of complaint. Thank you, BCCSA. He's taking you to the BCCSA for calling him a donkey.
Well, he said the lie of the century that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Well, I was quite shocked to receive, and you're right, Maulana, I received a lawyer's letter of complaint on behalf of the International Association of Donkeys. and this is what it said. It said, we act on behalf of the International Association of Donkeys who take great exception to your comment comparing our clients to George Bush. This is the second time you have done this, and we must warn you that should you continue with your insulting remarks, we will be compelled to sue you for defamation. Our clients would further like to add that they consider the intellectual capacity to far exceed that of George Bush. This is a final warning, and any further transgression would lead to severe consequences. Maulana, you remember the letter you got from that Lenasia branch of a party we won't mention?
Yeah, I remember that. They were very upset because you were mocking at their youth league leader. And now the youth league leader is giving them danda in parliament every time.
That was too funny. I even read out the letter, if you remember.
Yeah, I did.
Well, dear listeners, I must confess that this letter that I just received from the lawyers really made me nervous. Anyway, do you remember what George Bush kept saying after the 9/11 attack? He said, why do they hate us? And then the Mampara answered his own question. They hate us because of our values. And he was implying that Muslims are attacking the United States and the West in general because the West has freedom and justice and democracy, etc., etc., etc. We are jealous of their values, he said. We hate them. We hate the West because of this, says Georgie Boy. Well, dear Ladu, you got it all wrong, you see. You got it all wrong. We hate you because you are bombing us. Samjhe, you are bombing us. You are killing us, directly and indirectly. You are sending your drones and you are giving weapons to the dictators who are killing us. That's your wonderful values. And of course, we hate them. Here is a Reuters report from just yesterday. And we know that President Abdel Fattah has been meeting French president. So here's from an article from Reuters. French President Emmanuel Macron said on Tuesday it was not up to him to lecture Egypt on civil liberties. Under the previous government, France concluded several major military agreements with Egypt, including the sale of 24 Rafale combat aircraft, a multi-mission frigate, and two Mistral warships in contracts worth some 6 billion euros. France will discuss the possible sale of more Rafale aircraft with Sisi, French Finance Minister Bruno Le Maire said on Tuesday. Yes. So, selling weapons is so important. They're more important than worrying about petty things like human rights in Egypt. What did he say? I won't lecture Sisi on civil liberties. And what was that slogan after the French Revolution? Liberté, égalité, and fraternité. Liberté, égalité, and fraternité. You know, it's French when they speak, they look like somebody's choking them. Libertaire, égalitaire, fraternitaire. Liberty, equality, and fraternity. Brotherhood. What a joke, eh? The slogan should be liberty to sell arms, equality in the weapons market, and brotherhood of military manufacturers. Here's another wonderful example from yesterday, also from the Guardian newspaper. It says British Defense Minister Michael Fallon urged MPs to stop criticizing Saudi Arabia in the interest of securing a fighter jet deal. The Defense Secretary was giving evidence to the Commons Defense Committee where he was pressed about why a deal to sell Typhoon fighter jets to Saudi Arabia had not yet been signed. And Fallon said he had been working extremely hard on the deal and had traveled to Jeddah in September to discuss it with Saudi counterpart. Fanon told the defense committee, I have to repeat sadly to this committee that obviously other criticisms of Saudi Arabia in this parliament is not helpful, and I'll leave it at that. Well, so what did he actually say? He said, in other words, shut up, we got a deal to sign with the Saudis, so stop condemning the terrible human rights record. And here's a report from the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, also from yesterday. Israel sold advanced weapons to Myanmar during anti-Rohingya ethnic cleansing campaign. Israeli made Navy patrol boats custom fitted with remote weapon stations are part of arms deal estimated to be worth tens of millions. Israeli weapons are being sold to Myanmar despite the restrictions on weapon sales to that country. So, never mind that the UN declared it a textbook case of ethnic cleansing. Selling weapons is far more important than some unwashed, starving lot running for their lives. And still on Israel, yesterday I read this article, Maulana, since the headline said, Netanyahu says, world should take care of the Kurds' future. He said, the Kurds demonstrate national maturity and international maturity. We have very great sympathy for their desire, and the world needs to concern itself with their safety and with their future. And the article continues, Israel has been the only country to openly support Kurdish independence, with Netanyahu last month backing, in his words, the legitimate efforts of the Kurdish people to attain a state of its own. Wow. The legitimate efforts of the Kurdish people to attain a state of its own. Wonderful stuff that. What a guy. Magic stuff. Here we have a great champion, a strong voice for people who are being oppressed. I hereby nominate Benjamin Netanyahu to be awarded the Nobel Prize for Hypocrisy. And that's all I have to say on that.
Wow, for the final time. Light at the end of the tunnel.
Wow. Okay, I got I want a solution from the listeners. It's a very dangerous situation. You are on a horse. You're on a horse galloping. On your right is a very sharp cliff, a drop-off. On your left is an elephant going the same speed as you. Directly ahead is a galloping zebra, and your horse can't overtake it. Behind is a lion running at the same speed as you and the zebra. How do you get out of this tricky situation? And the answer is, you get off the merry-go-round. Okay, I got another one for you, Maulana. Just a quote in this morning's paper. The Romans would never have found time to conquer the world if they had been obliged to learn Latin first. And last one here. A very smart young chap from Joburg, Ridwan, he parked his BMW and went into this masjid near me, very fancy, very posh masjid near me. And as he entered, you know, almost automatically, well, there was a janaza carrying on there in that place. And as he entered, the first thing he said was, has this place got Wi-Fi? What is the password?
Mm-hmm.
And the imam looked at him very sternly and said, respect the marhum. And Ridwan answered, is that only in small letters, Maulana? Okay, and in keeping with this occasion of this parting, I would like to say something, Maulana. Actually, I'd like to sing something. And here it goes. So saal pehle mujhe tumse pyar tha, mujhe tumse pyar tha, aaj bhi hai aur kal bhi rahega.
Wow. You try your hand at Bollywood. Uncle Levy, it's been a fantastic journey. I will forever cherish the memories. May Allah Ta'ala reward you for all of your sacrifice, waking up 4 o'clock on a Friday morning and preparing for the program. May you get the best of rewards in this world as well as in the year after. And may the listeners of Radio Islam International continue to benefit from you on Saturday mornings, 10 to 11, live from our KZN studios. All the best, old man.
Jazakallah, and ameen to everything except the last part.
Oh, for the last time in the slot, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Habibi, habibi.
Yeah, comes to an end. Eh? Every good thing has to come to an end. And, you know, it's just been amazing. It's been an amazing journey with Brother Ibi Dawji. It's one of it's definitely been one of the highlights of my years here at Radio Islam International. But all good things come to an end, as they say. But he's not lost to the airwaves of Radio Islam International. Saturday mornings, 10 o'clock.